behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
And I am Ben, still. Sorry, I don't know why I paused there, Scott.
Still.
I had to do a quick gut check, but it's still me. And as always, we're joined by our super producer, Noel. What do you think his nickname should
be? Fuel Injection.
Noel Fuel Injection Brown. Perfect. So what's the haps today?
The haps today is a couple of topics kind of rolled into one. And this is how this all came about. We had a listener that wrote in, probably more than one, but one recently, that wrote in and said that he'd like to hear about Honda's SI line of cars. And
there's
a little bit of listener mail that goes along with that we'll read in just a moment. But the initial idea was that you wanted to cover Honda's Type R car, rather the Civic Type R. Mm-hmm. There's more than one Type R car. But the Honda Civic Type R that we're hearing a lot about here in the States right now. And, of course, the European market, the Asian market, they're going crazy for this thing right now.
Right, because they can buy them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Not that I'm bitter.
No. We'll, let's include a bit at the end here about we can't get it here in the United States.
That's good.
Or maybe we will. That's one of the – this is the maddening part about the story, Ben. Mm-hmm. We're unsure right now if the Civic Type R will ever make it to North America or will it not. And we're hearing this back and forth. And I know I've mentioned this on our podcast before, but – you know, Honda says one thing at the New York Auto Show in 2015. They say it's coming to North America. We just can't tell you when.
Sure.
Then we hear reports that are saying, we probably better hedge our bets on that. I don't think it's going to come there. It's probably just going to be Asia and Europe. And then later we'll hear like, no, it's definitely coming to the United States. And then it's back again. So it's back and forth all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the latest word is, but it will likely change by next week again anyways. So it doesn't matter.
That's not that you're bitter.
No, not that I'm mad or anything, because this is a great car.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
so,
this is a fantastic car.
So how about we quickly go through this this listener mail that that suggests one of today's topics. How about that?
Perfect.
All right, now it comes from Tim K. Mm-hmm. And Tim writes in and says that the subject was condolences on Scott's automotive loss.
Oh, man.
So the initial reason for this email was because of this. And he says, mm-hmm. I'll just start and read the email. He says, hi, guys. This started to be a repeat of my request last year that you covered all generation of Honda's legendary Civic Si on the show. But while listening to the latest Nuts and Bolts episode, I heard Scott relate his sad story of losing his 2005 Si to engine failure. And, that was tragic.
Sorry, man.
Early March, that's when that happened. So he says, now I'm going to try to console him. Last November, I lost my 2003 WRX engine to a timing belt pulley seizure during a blizzard. I faced the same situation as you did, having a wonderful, fun car in otherwise wonderful shape, and then the engine is suddenly gone. He says, as I'm allergic to many animals, my cars are like my metal pets. So when I lose one so suddenly, it was shocking. Now, like you, I spent a couple of days calculating my options, finding a bug-eye WRX, especially the more rare 2003 model, in perfect, unmodified condition, was a dream come true, and I just couldn't give it up after this freak incident several years later. So I decided to have the engine rebuilt, and thousands of dollars later, I'm driving a very smoothly running bug-eye WRX. So good for you.
Cool.
Decided to make the investment in the rebuild engine.
Yeah.
Okay. Good move. He said, so I figured this was a new lease on life for the car, and I hope to have it many years from now, and would rather have the occasional parts replacement expenses than a monthly car loan payment. The fact that I just bought my house played into that decision too.
Oh, I bet.
I couldn't take more debt at that time when I could have had a terrific mechanic rebuild what I knew was great already. So mm-hmm. that makes perfect sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
I totally get that. Then a little more congratulations on the new car type stuff. But then at the end he says, take care and thanks for the show. Please do cover the story of Honda's wonderful SI when the grief has finally passed. Tim.
Well,
thank you, Tim.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. That's a great letter, and that's a good question that I hope you're comfortable answering on air, because I'm going to ask you. Is there enough water under the bridge, man?
I guess I wrote back, and this was about a month afterwards, and I said, well, it's still a bit of a sore subject for me, at least for now and for a while.
Yeah.
We'll definitely get around to discussing the Civic Si cars on the show sometime soon. So that's what we're going to do today. But honestly, Ben, it's still a bit of a hard pill to take. I mean, hard pill to swallow, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that the way you say it?
Yeah.
It was really abrupt, and it was really difficult to get through that. I mean, I know it's funny to talk about it this way. It's almost like I'm talking about a person or something.
Right.
But it's difficult to get past that point because it was so sudden. It was so unexpected. It was just like one day you have a car, one day, mm-hmm. and the next day you don't.
Yeah.
And there was that interim period where I had to rent a car, and then I had no car. Mm-hmm. Actually, I had no car, rent a car, no car, and then finally had a car. And it's stressful. It's very stressful.
But you have your new car is pretty, can I say badass on the air?
I am satisfied with this car. I'm really satisfied with this new car. I really like it. It's not new. It's a 2012, but, I really do enjoy it, and it's proving to be a good choice, I think, overall. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though I got a new car, used car payment now.
Sure.
I find it worth it.
Oh, man, a payment, regular payment, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm getting anxiety from the issue.
Getting tingly all over
I don't know, man.
In a bad way?
I don't know if I could do that.
All right, so we can cover the SI models. Now, I want to point out that we've done the full Honda story in the past.
We do have the story of the history of Honda all the way back to when it was just a bicycle repair shop.
Yeah, and then a bicycle repair shop that added engines to their bikes and so on, and how they grew that into one of the world's biggest automakers.
Which is a great story. I'm not saying our podcast sound was great. It was a great story. Our podcast was okay.
I think the podcast was great.
Oh, man. Hey, thank you.
Yeah. Well, it was an effort between the both of us, and I think the story was if I may toot our own horn, I think it was well done.
Well, I also don't think it was our idea to do it. It might have been a listener suggestion.
Well, I like the story. It was a fascinating story. Yeah. And more than anything, the research turned up way more than what we were able to even put on air. Mm-hmm. But it's a great story. So if you would like to, you can search our archives and find that information.
Yeah. And let us know what you think, Tim. Yeah. But now, without further ado or to do, let's take a look. Do you want to start at the SI?
Yeah, tell you what. Let's burn through the SI history. And I don't mean burn through it, give it no respect. I mean burn through it and that we'll get to the Type R stuff soon enough. Okay, how about that?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so this was very fortunate for me, Ben. Car and Driver did an article recently called The History of Honda SI Cars in America. And this laid it out perfectly. So I've got kind of the Cliff Notes version of that. And we'll just go through it quickly. You can ask questions as you want.
Cool.
Or we can just quickly go through it if you like. Now, the interesting thing about this is that if you think about it, SI cars have been in America, in the United States, for about 30 years now. And they're not really the type of cars that are concerned about the high horsepower, like you'd say, like the BMW M series or Mercedes AMG.
Right.
The SI vehicles tend to, target enthusiasts with small gains, but their primary goal with the SI cars, the line of cars from Honda that's, kind of the upline, I guess, or the upsell version.
Which, of course, stands for sport injected.
Sport injected. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if we mentioned that.
Important part to make. That's Honda's version of fuel injection. They say sport injected. So that's the SI.
Sounds faster.
That's what SI stands for. Yeah, right. So they're going at enthusiasts with, the idea that they're going to provide a smooth, high revving engine that has, really a solid feeling gearbox and really sharp driving dynamics. That's their goal is to get that vehicle that I just simply put, I guess, is fun to drive. Mm-hmm. So they're not like, BMW, which will come out with a model that's 100 horsepower better than the one previous.
Right.
These will maybe increase like 14 horsepower.
Yeah.
15 horsepower at a time, but they do that in chunks. And over a while, this really adds up. So you'll see when we get to the history, when we start out with the first SI models that, maybe they had 91 horsepower to begin with.
Sure, didn't have that much punch.
Yeah, now we're up to above 200 at this point, in 2015.
Right.
All right, so again, these small incremental gains, but they do other things to keep people interested, the enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first SI badge Hondas that came to the U.S. were the CRX and the Prelude, both those in 1985, and then shortly after that was a Civic.
Ah, yeah, yeah. And this was 1986, right? The Honda Civic SI hatchback. This was they sold a Civic S in 85, but by 86 they made it an SI, just primarily because of the fuel injection.
Well, they added fuel injection. Yeah. So they added the sport injection.
Sport injection.
Yeah, as Honda likes to say. No, they still call it that, but when they add the injection prior to this point, most Honda cars were still carbureted.
Right.
Yeah. Which is a strange thought now.
A lot of the youngins might not know that.
I believe, and as we go through here, and I just have to take this off the top of my head because I don't remember exactly until we get to the notes, but I think that the Civic also had a carbureted version until something like the early 1990s or somewhere around there. It was later, much later than you would think.
Oh, like up until like fourth or fifth gen or
I think so, yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to double check that, but I think that was the case. So it was kind of a big deal to be fuel injected even then, you know, in the mid 80s.
I think they did. I know in Japan there was a carbureted.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, Ben. Okay, so you're probably right. All right, so anyways, to begin with, so one of the first of the two SI cars that came to the United States was the Prelude SI.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people, this is actually the second generation Prelude,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people think this is one of the more attractive cars of the 1980s, and there's a large group of people that would like to see the Prelude come back. It was redesigned later, as we'll talk about.
Right.
But a lot of people would like to see the Prelude come back into the Honda line, because it went away in the mid-90s, I believe.
Yeah, but if it came back, whenever people talk about bringing a car back,
mm-hmm.
and just, if you'll permit me, just this small tangent here,
of
a little
course.
Soapbox to complain,
mm-hmm.
my friend.
Okay.
So the Honda Prelude, especially if we're talking the 85 SI, right?
Sure.
When it comes back, so often when car manufacturers do this, they bring things back the way, like, people bring their pets back in that Stephen King movie, Pet Sematary. You know what I mean?
It's not what they want.
It's not what you want. Be careful what you wish for. It's going to come back changed.
All right, prime example.
Yeah.
Pontiac GTO.
Oh, see? Yes.
Yeah, yeah, based on that Australian car. Was it the Monaro, I think is what it was called? And when it came back, you know, everybody's expecting a car to look like the old muscle car Pontiac GTO that they were fond of back then.
The one they actually wanted.
Yeah, 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 and in kind of the way that, you know, Ford brought back the Mustang design and Chevy brought back the Camaro design,
right,
you know, that
right.
retro design or the Challenger from Dodge. But when it did come back, it was a modern version of the GTO that, it was kind of, divisive, I guess.
I'm
among
just saying,
owners.
Don't get Pet Sematary'd.
That's a good way to put it, I guess. So, anyways, this is a fairly strong car. It had a fuel-injected 2-liter yeah. 4-cylinder engine. Great design. You know, people, I can say great design, I guess, but, you know, it's a favorite among Honda fans, I think.
Right.
That's a
sure.
fair way
and,
to say
and
it.
And for good reason.
And you've already talked about the SI hatchback, right?
Right.
That's
yeah.
when you said it was first sold as an S, then as an SI in 86.
Yep.
Right around this time, this is when we get the first Honda CRX SI.
Yeah.
And, this is really cool too. This is again, now this is strange. They said 1985 early on, but this is 1986. I don't know if it's a model year thing. I can't remember.
It might be.
But what it does is the SI version boasts something like 15 horsepower over the standard CRX. Now, can you imagine if they offered 1,500 over?
We would be buying them.
Yeah. Well,
altogether, all told, it had about a 91 horsepower range.
Okay. So, you know, why is, you know, what do you say? How many horsepower?
91.
Okay. So 91. And that's something like, how many is that? That's like 15 horsepower more than the standard CRX,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like you said.
As we said, not 1,500. 15 horsepower more. And why is that important? It's because it only weighed like 1,840 pounds. And that was it.
Very light.
Very, very light. We're talking like the weight of, and I don't know if it's close or not, but it must be similar to the weight of the original Mazda Miata.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty low weight. And maybe the Miata was a little bit lower at that point, or, you know,
I
on.
I think so.
But very, very lightweight at the time. So 15 horsepower makes a huge difference in 9 extra pound feet of torque over the standard version.
Yeah. So even though it just had a 1.5 four cylinder, it still had a lot of scoop.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, it's their performance line. So, you know, you're going to pay a little bit extra for that, but, it's always an upsell, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 1988, Honda redesigned the CRX. So the, you know, the CRX SI was available right from the start. It wasn't something that they released later, because sometimes they do that.
Right.
They release a lower end model, let people buy that one, and then they'll up the game, right?
Which I just think is so unethical.
Because they know they're going to come out with it. I know. Sometimes it is a development issue that, you know, it's not
right.
quite ready
sometimes
or whatever.
It's just early adopters.
Other times you're right. It's just trying to up sales. You know, they're trying to, people have to be the first on the block to have the CRX. And then if they want the SI, you got to wait another 3 years or whatever, 2 years. So now horsepower is up to something like 105 horsepower. So see again, a small jump. They went from 91 up to 105. So now it's got 14 more horsepower for the SI version. And, this is kind of funny the way they describe it. They said in 1988, the term sporty was apparently loose enough to include 5-inch wide, 14-inch aluminum wheels. So 14-inch wheels, I mean, you don't even find, I mean, that's like economy car stuff now. That was
right.
not their sport, you know, like their sporty version, I guess. Also touted as the sportiest in the Civic line. which I think is kind of funny. But honestly, looking back, that was a great car.
In retrospect.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely was. And I think even now, looking back, people still collect these things. I mean, they're sought after by Honda fans, especially fans of the SI line.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're up to 1988. Well, we're still with 1988. And one feature that I think we should mention just because, the 1988 SI featured that little half window in the back and the lift gate, you know, that was,
yeah.
was glass.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was the metal one.
Uh-huh.
And you couldn't see through it. And,
you're talking about the CRX.
Yeah, the CRX. And I know it's a minor distinction to make here, but, you know, it had that glass piece in the back hatch. Mm-hmm. And I had a CRX. I had a 90 CRX SI.
Yeah.
And it had that glass back. And that was extremely helpful when you're parking that thing because otherwise visibility at the back end was minimal.
Because that angle is so sharp.
Yeah, yeah. There's,
very,
I mean,
so acute.
It's a huge piece of glass back there. You know,
yeah.
the flat part, the top
yeah,
flat
yeah,
part.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to actually use that on the road or trying to back mm-hmm. up or whatever, you can see very little through that because it's so raked. It's such a great angle.
So what, I got to ask, how was it driving?
Oh, man. If I had
really?
It, I wish I had it back now. I still think fondly of that car and wish I had it in my garage. It's one of those that, I don't know, I still see them around town. I saw one on my recent vacation. It was parked in a, I think it was parked in a rental car lot, but it was only because it was, you know, an employee's car.
Oh, okay. They're not going to rent it.
But I still turn my head every time I see one because it was that great of a car. It was the car that I owned that was most heavily modified of all of them. I spent more money and more time on that than any other car.
You should have asked them if you could rent the employee's car.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's a different company. I should have. Anyways.
Anyway.
All right. So let's move on to the 1988 Honda Prelude SI. And this is a redesigned vehicle.
Yeah.
And of course, for 1988, the SI model returned along with the Prelude.
Sure.
135 horsepower and 127 pound-feet of torque. And not only that, it had all-wheel steering.
Yes, which was an unexpected improvement.
Definitely.
An unexpected innovation because at this point, it's 88, we've started to set up this pattern or this cycle of slightly increasing horsepower, mm-hmm. right? Each model year.
Sure.
So now they're adding some other bells and whistles.
Yeah. Now, I mean, we're talking about the Prelude versus the CRX, but the line itself is slightly increasing within each model that they offer it in.
Yeah.
So Prelude is up to 135 and this all-wheel steering system is a fully mechanical system. So, I can tell you how it's operated in just
yeah.
a minute here, but the idea is that it's not as complicated as would be an electronic system.
Right.
However, when you read about the mechanical system, you'll find that that's also quite complicated. I mean, it's not as easy as it sounds. It doesn't sound easy, but, four-wheel steering on something like this. I had a friend whose older sister who was going away to college had an all-wheel steering Prelude of this generation.
So, okay, one thing though, we should say that was optional.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't, it didn't come with, it wasn't standard.
No, it wasn't standard this time. And the idea is that, and just basically, I mean, it's an interesting system, but basically here's how it works. At low speeds, the rear wheels would turn against the front wheels, up to something like 5 degrees. And that's a pretty good degree of turn there. So if you look at it in slow motion, or if you look at it, you didn't have to look slow motion, I guess, but in a parking lot, you know, at low speeds,
yeah.
This would greatly help you in parallel parking. It would help you pulling into that parking spot, pulling out of the parking spot. Mm-hmm. It reduces the turning radius quite a bit. At higher speeds, they would turn slightly less, and because you're not given as much, you know, steering wheel input. It's not that, you know, it's not going to do the maximum that it should do. It's just that you're not going to be turning the wheel quite as hard as you would in a slow situation,
right.
slower situation. And the idea is to enhance stability at higher speeds, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So CRX at this time, maybe we have to mention the CRX SI again. That's up another 3 horsepower.
That's the big change.
Yeah, 3 horsepower. So, it's interesting, you know, that they didn't go with the electronic system, I guess, on the Prelude at that point, but
yeah.
it was for complexity's sake.
And that was, 89, right, for the CRX?
That was 89 for the CRX that I was just mentioning, that it was
yeah.
up another 3 horsepower.
Yeah,
so they're
yeah,
slowly,
yeah.
slowly increasing. And I can give you an update on that in just a second, but let's talk about that four-wheel steering system, for just a second, if
yeah.
you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now this is the entirely mechanical system, and what it has is an extra pinion gear at the front steering box, that turns a long shaft that runs to a second steering rack on the rear axle. Already sounds complicated, doesn't it? It's a complex planetary gear set separated subtle steering from inputs from aggressive ones. So that means that, you know, at speed, you know, it would keep it more subtle. So you're not going to, you know, fly out of control on the
right,
highway. It's not
yeah.
going to really, really whip out behind you, the back end. But it does say that at any speed, if the driver delivered between 0 and 140 degrees of steering input, the rear wheels steered with the fronts up to 1.5 degrees. Now, inputs above 140 degrees gradually return the rear wheels to straight, and when the driver's input reached 246 degrees, the rear wheels were realigned with the fronts to 0 degrees of tow. So past 246 degrees. I know it sounds a lot, but think about it carefully. You'll get it.
Yeah.
Past 246 degrees, the rear wheels turned against the fronts up to a maximum of, it's 5.3 degrees. And again, it says, you know, that sounds really complicated, but given how many actuators and electronics that modern four-wheel drive systems use, like Acura's system is now. I think they have a system called PAWS. That's a lot more complex. But this one, comparatively, I guess, they call it elegantly streamlined, especially for, you know, like 1989, 1990, and you know, whenever this was out, really. Or was it 88? It might even have been 88.
This is 88, I think.
Yeah, 88, I think, is when they first came out with it. So not really as complex as you might think, and the inputs are dependent, again, on the degrees of input from the driver. So it makes sense that in a parking lot, you're going to, you know, turn the steering wheel harsher than you would on a, or more harsh than you would on a highway when you're trying to make a corner. And that would help control, I guess, that, you know, it would reduce the turning radius in a parking lot, make it easier to maneuver at slow speeds, and at higher speeds, it would just aid in stability in that turn.
Yes. There's another thing here. If you have time to check it out, you know, you've got a free moment online. You can look at some really cool cutaways and animations of this in action, and just seeing, I don't know about you guys, but something about watching a cutaway of machines work and just the gears and stuff. To me, it's like getting a scratch behind the ears. I feel kind of hypnotized. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is similar to that, isn't it? You just continue to watch, or you run it on a loop so that you can really absorb it, because you find yourself staring at one bit of it for a while, and then you realize, like, well, I should be looking at the overall operation, and then you focus on another part
and
see how that works. I love cutaway stuff. It's really cool. All right, so another quick few notes on this stuff in between. I know we got off track a little bit there, but
Sorry.
It's part of the SI line. It's important. Now this one is the 1990 Honda Civic SI hatchback, and this is important because this is a time when the Civic SI was only available in the hatchback body style.
Right.
Only the hatchback. You couldn't get a Civic coupe or sedan body style with the SI badge at this time. And this one, if you look at it dead on, right from the front, it looks identical to the CRX.
Yeah, it's just the hatch.
Yeah, so
that changes.
As soon as it comes into view, that rear three quarters view,
then
you're able to see that it's the hatchback design, not the CRX design. You know, the chopped off rear end. We talked about these on another episode.
Oh,
I think it's the bread van design. Is that right?
I
don't know. I'll have to search. But I mean, it's in our archives. But it's where, you know, the you would expect the tail end to continue on. You know, it looks like it should, but then it's just chopped off.
Oh, right, wait, No, you're right. You're right.
It is bread van?
Yeah. Like, cause, the Prius kind of has an abbreviated bread van thing going on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the Civic hatchback does not have that. The CRX does.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here we're on to 1990 with the Honda Prelude SI again with four wheel steering. This is the top of the line vehicle in 1990. And basically, this vehicle came fully loaded at this point. And again, four-wheel steering, as we just mentioned, so we've already talked about that system and how it all works. In 1992, there was a Civic SI hatchback redesign. This is important. Fuel injection was now standard across all of the Civic line. So in order to make the Civic SI stand out from the standard Civic that also included fuel injection now, which was the critical part for, you know, remember the SI badge, they had to add something else. They had to add more bells and whistles, I guess.
Yeah.
And they did that with VTEC. And this is important because this is one of the first times we'll see VTEC. And I don't know if it's exactly the first time, but the 1992 Honda Civic SI hatchback incorporated the VTEC system. And the idea was that at lower engine speeds, the timing and valve lift was mild for better torque. And then at higher engine speeds, which were particularly or specifically between 5,000 and 5,500 RPM, and that's important later, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It switched to a profile that opened the intake valves sooner and kept them open longer for more outright power. So the result was that, you know, this 1.6-liter inline-four engine produced 125 horsepower and 106 pound-feet of torque, but it was still EPA rated for something like 29 miles per gallon in the city and 36 miles per gallon on the highway.
Kind of a have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, exactly. This is a performance engine that is now fuel efficient, which is really important. And I promise we're getting towards the end here. I'll try to go through. We haven't even talked about Type R yet, which is important too.
Or the Del Sol.
No, the Del Sol, which now, okay, the CRX is gone in 1991.
Yeah.
Sadly so, by a lot of people,
they were cool,
a little heartbroken over the end of that one. And that's why the CRZ that came back. That's kind of like the rebirth of that. That's another topic though. In 1993, the Honda Civic Del Sol SI came out. And again, the SI, I believe, was available right from the beginning. This is a 125 horsepower VTEC equipped 1.6 liter engine, but it's a small car. And that's important because, of course, it keeps that sporty, high performance. You know,
sure.
It's a fun to drive vehicle, a lot of fun. It had some strange things like, you know, that top that could be lift off. It had a rear power sliding window that would drop down.
Yeah, I remember
that. A flat rear window. It's a strange design, interesting. I had one friend that had one of these, and I'll tell you, it was like a friend of a friend. I never rode in it.
No?
It was one of those bright green ones, you know, the intense, like, green apple ones.
Yeah.
I know, I'm not a fan of it either, but it was a cool little car. And I wish I had been in it because it was a sporty, fun car to be in. And I just never got even a ride in that one.
Now, some listeners might get a little peeved when I say this, but I never rode in or drove one because my neighbor who had one hated it. And all he would do, because, you know, if you have a neighbor and you don't know them very well and you just make small talk about stuff, this guy's thing that he would talk about is complaining about his car. And I would ask him questions like, it was always something big and something expensive.
Sure.
He was like, the transmission is shot, blah, 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 blah. And it got to the point where one day I said, well, why don't you just, you know, sell it and get a different car?
Get rid of that lemon.
He was so offended. He was like, what? My car? No.
What a strange character.
He was an interesting guy.
You know, there's a lot of people that have to complain to be happy. So maybe that was his thing. You know,
like maybe it was.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe he was like, why doesn't that guy ever complain enough? Are we not friends?
It could be. All right, so here, where were we in this history? We're up to 1993.
Yeah.
And how about I just go through this quickly? Because I really, really want to talk about the Type R, and we're kind of running out of time, so let's do it quick.
All right,
so there's a 1993, there's a redesigned Prelude, again offered with four-wheel steering, and, oh, this is strange. There was a model that was above the SI for this particular year in 1993. There was a model called a model above it again that was called the Prelude VTEC. And this one had, maybe I should tell you what the SI had first.
Yeah.
The SI had 160 horsepower and 156 pound-feet of torque from a 2.3 liter engine. Now, this other version, this Prelude VTEC, had 190 horsepower from a 2.4 liter.
We're getting up there. We're getting closer to the coveted 200 HP.
We're getting close, yeah. But isn't that strange that they offered something above the SI line for that one year? That's really weird. So if you can find one, look for a Prelude VTEC. That would be the car to have. All right, so now we're up to about 1994 again with the Prelude. And now, remember that four-wheel steering system we talked about?
Yes.
Electronically controlled. So they've shifted over to an electronic system. For 2000, the Civic Coupe SI is back. The Civic SI Coupe is back. And I think it had been gone for about 5 years at this point, which is strange. It came back in either 2000 or 1999. I see kind of both. Mm-hmm. I think there's a 99 SI as well. This time it's equipped with what they call a screamer of a four-cylinder engine. And this is important, Ben. The 2000 Civic SI Coupe had a 1.6 liter dual overhead cam that redlined at 8,000 RPM, put out 160 horsepower and 111 pound-feet of torque. And this is one, of course, you had to keep it revved up really high to be in that power band.
Right,
obviously.
Right,
but that's been the case all along. It requires high revs in order to use all that power. But again, this has a, you know, the VTEC system, the variable valve timing system and lift. Mm-hmm. And just incredible. And I guess the one of the best things about this was the sound.
Yeah.
And the people that drove one of these, they love the sound of this particular engine.
But let's go ahead and point out one slight, I don't know if it's a deal breaker, but a con for the Civic SI Coupe for a lot of people is that it came in three colors.
Yeah, three colors. What were the colors? Red?
Milano red.
Okay, silver.
Electron blue.
Oh, blue.
Flamenco
okay.
black. It didn't have that silver part.
So it's red, blue, and black.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. I mean, you could paint it.
Later, they did that with the hatchback, and that's the next vehicle. It's the 2003 Honda Civic Si hatchback, and I think there were very limited colors for that one as well, and I believe I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Yeah.
I think the interior, the only interior color you could get was black in that. You didn't have an option for any other color. So they keep the choices down to a minimum. Now, this is a brand new Si hatchback design for 2003. And this is the design that I had. Mine was a 2005, but this is the same body style. There was no non-SI equivalent to this vehicle, so it was kind of unique in that way. The Civic Coupe and Sedan were available, but not as a SI badged hatchback version.
I see. Yeah.
I don't know if I said that right.
No.
You couldn't get an SI in the Coupe or the Sedan. You could only get them in the hatchback, but there was no non-SI hatchback.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Okay, I hope so.
We got there.
I hope so. All right. And this is I believe this was a European borrowed design as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was, and it kind of had a tepid, response from people that initially in the marketplace
people didn't love it in the streets.
Well, I'm not exactly crazy about it. They hung on to it for a few years. It had that cool, rally style shifter.
Sure.
You know, the one that's right next to the steering wheel, kind of up on the dash. And I love the position of that. And I wish it was back. I wish they had that in other vehicles now, but it was unique to that one design.
I think it's just because the red line was a little lower, even though the performance was good. People felt like they weren't getting as much zip.
Yeah, the lower red line is like down to 7,000 or something versus the 8,000 RPM. And that seems to be a big deal to a lot of people that, you know, they can't rev it up quite as high.
Right.
I fully get that. I understand you don't get the sound that you do from a high red line inline four like you would.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's see. What else? Where can we go here? The 2006. We'll go to 2006 from this.
Sure.
The Civic Si Coupe. And this is the return of the Si Coupe in 2006. Mm-hmm. And it now has 197 horsepower and 139 pound-feet of torque. Plus, they upped the RPM, the red line up to 7,800, which a lot of people really liked.
Right. Yes.
Kind of went back to its roots, I guess.
I said, let's go back to what works.
Yeah, I guess so. So this Coupe. Now, in the first comparison test that they ran, that the Car and Driver ran, I believe it had a 6.7 second 0-60 run, which was just 1/10 of a second behind its closest foe, which was the turbocharged Volkswagen GTI. So not bad.
Not bad
out of this vehicle. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a relatively big vehicle, not an abrupt hatchback design. I don't know if abrupt is the right way, but a shorter, sportier looking.
Abbreviated.
Maybe. All right. So, and then in 2007, they made a sedan available.
Sure.
In 2008, they made a factory built special edition. It was the Mugen, and I'm saying that right. I know I looked it up. the 2008 Honda Civic Si sedan Mugen edition, and it's M-U-G-E-N. That's how you say it. Mugen.
They're a Honda tuner.
Yeah, they're a Honda tuner, and this was a factory-built version of it, though. So it may look like it's a modded vehicle that somebody on the street built, but it is the factory version if you get the 2008 special edition.
Right.
All right, so let's move on to 2012, and they have redesigned the Honda Civic Si Coupe, and it got really not-so-great reviews. In fact, it failed to earn a recommended rating from Consumer Reports for the first time in decades.
Yeah.
That's a big, strike against this thing.
Well, and also the back end, I'm going to be honest, it looks like a Saturn.
Yeah, you know what? It does. That's a good point.
Like a
it does look like a Saturn. You're right. And, so fans weren't really too impressed. The reviewers weren't too impressed. But the Si Coupe, it was actually not too bad, really. I mean, as far as the way that the engine layout was, or the performance of the whole thing.
Yep.
People didn't like the body because they did go back to the drawing board for 2013. They changed it within one model year, which is really strange for a car company to do that.
That's a sign.
But they did that. Now, this engine, however, it was the, this is crazy. It still was a naturally aspirated engine, which it was non-turbo. But it was the torqueiest engine that has ever been fitted to an SI with 170 horsepower, at least at the time,
in
2012. It had 170 pound-feet on tap from all the way down from 4,400 RPM. So relatively low in the RPM band was 170 pound-feet of torque. That's quite a bit for this. Now, it broke the barrier, Ben. 201 horsepower in this one.
Yeah.
And in 0-60 in just 6.3 seconds, which is really not bad. It's sort of a larger vehicle, not really small. I know it's small, but not really small. I don't know. It's an interesting car. I understand why they wanted to redesign it, though, looking at it. I mean, it's something that wouldn't make me run to the showroom.
It doesn't look like a Honda.
Yeah, I guess. And when
you know
look
what
at,
I mean?
It really doesn't, does it? I mean, it just didn't fit with the rest of the lineup. So, they came back in, 2013 with a restyled, Civic Si sedan, just 1 year later, of course. And, the Si car, however, wasn't ready until about 2014.
Right.
And the thing was, they didn't mechanically change it much, so it still had that pretty amazing 201 horsepower, 170 foot-pound torque engine.
Yeah,
so it still was pretty mechanically incredible, but, it had this brand new design. Again, it took like another extra year to get the Si model out there on the showrooms.
Right.
And, now we're up to 2015, Ben, finally, after my, I remember I said we're going to burn through this. we're finally up to 2015, and, they do still offer a Civic Si coupe and a sedan model, and they're up to 205 horsepower. So again, you see this tiny little jump up. They've gone up by 4 horsepower this year.
Yep.
And of course it's non-turbo, so it's naturally aspirated again. I don't know where to go from this, Ben. We've probably burned up most of our time.
Well, let's go with the good news. You can get a pretty good deal. They're starting new at like a little under $23,000.
That's really not bad.
Very reasonable price for at least for the Civic Si coupe. You know what we should probably do? We have to make this a two-parter because we don't want to skimp on the Type R.
Oh, man.
And we're getting there.
You know, I honestly thought we could come in here and do the Si history and all that, you know, all that stuff tied together.
Yeah.
And then also do the Type R all in one episode. It was my fault because I think I just talked too much about the Si line.
No.
And even so, I feel like I've skipped some important steps in the Si history. So it's like I'm cheating myself here on this. I feel like I need to add more, but I know we just don't have time. So let's do this. Like you said, let's make it a two-parter.
Okay.
We'll come back. We'll talk about the Type R, just the Type R next time, because the Civic Type R is pretty exciting. We're not sure if it's going to be here in the States or not, but it is going to be offered in other markets, and we've got fans that are in other markets, so it will be available to them.
Yeah, no, but I mean, if you are lucky enough to get your hands on a Type R and you're not here in the States, feel free to tell me how great it is.
Yeah.
Although I already know. Feel free to, I want to hear what you think about it.
Yeah. And then just ignore the sour grapes response that you get from us.
Yeah.
because honestly, you know, we've been watching a lot of, reviews of this and, you know, test drives and things like that.
Yeah.
And, it's a fantastic car, the Type R. And I'm really excited to talk about it. I was hoping we'd get to do it today. But it looks like we're not going to make it. So let's do it next time.
Yeah. Let's do it.
And that way we can devote some real time to it. I feel like we won't, you know, go through it too fast, too quickly, and ignore some things that are important.
Well, and there are a couple other things about the Si that we should come back in one more thing, maybe.
Probably.
So we are going to head out and once again look into the ever-changing news, by the way, Scott, about the Type R.
Yeah.
And this whole will it, won't it come to the States thing. And hopefully, you know what, maybe that's a good thing, man, because maybe if we've got a little more time, maybe we'll finally hear a good decision that doesn't just change with the wind.
Possibly. And, you know, I can tell you the reasons that it hasn't come to the United States so far.
Yeah.
And that's always, that's always on someone's mind. Like, well, why won't they offer this car that's available in Europe over here in the United States? Or why won't they give us that JDM version here in the States?
What am I, chopped liver?
Yeah. I mean, what's so special about the Japanese market or the EU market that doesn't allow it to be sold here? Why do they get that fun toy and I don't? Well, I think I've got the answer. And I'll tell you that when we talk about the Type R. And it just comes down to a will they, won't they, and it's really a numbers game.
A little bit of a cliffhanger.
It's, and just a little bit of a hint of why they won't do it.
So let us know what you think, and let us know if you drove an Si, what your opinion is of Honda's strategy to up the horsepower by tiny increments over the years. They're playing the long game for sure.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it is just these slight little increases, and I find it interesting that they're able to keep their fan base interested with that, but they're so fun to drive. I mean, I've owned two Si vehicles now.
That's true.
They are a blast to drive. They're a lot of fun. And I know they get a lot of criticism from some of the big boys, you know, in the AMG cars or whatever.
Yeah.
But they are fun. They're just a fun, affordable vehicle. And if you happen to see one on a car lot somewhere, a used car lot or something, take it out for a test drive. If you've never driven one, it will change your mind about them. It really will.
Do you remember when you were driving, let's see, we had that quote-unquote ice storm. Now, you mean historically from the northern lands, I know that didn't make too much of an impression, but the parking lot we had in the back of our old office, listeners, one time Scott it was like they were telling people not to go to work, to stay off the streets or whatever. And Scott said, you said something very much like, whatever, I have to go home. And yeah. then you hopped in and you got through the bank. You did some really cool ice driving. So yeah. I would love to see this. Like he was swinging out in reverse on stuff.
Yeah, there were some tricks that had to be pulled just to get out of the parking lot because it was like an ice rink.
Mm-hmm.
And so, with inclines.
With inclines.
Yeah,
that's
and,
another thing.
There were some unique strategies that had to be applied to get out of the parking lot. You know, like going through gates in reverse and stuff, but the gates that required me to wave a badge first. So
right,
that was
yeah.
difficult. And
yeah, and we're timed gates.
It was crazy. It was a fun time.
It was
though.
A video game.
And honestly though, those cars, I mean, on dry land and on, you know, twisty roads.
Yes.
So much fun. And to listen to them, I mean, just, it really is. It's a lot of fun and it's affordable. That's the thing is that this, you know, there are other fantastic cars to drive, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, many of them, but they're out of the price range of a lot of people, and these are within the price range of a lot of people, and they're just, I'm going to say, close to equal in the amount of fun that you can have in them.
Yeah, not for nothing has Honda been one of the most popular, if not the most popular, at some points, automaker in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
for certain types.
Yeah, and for good reason with cars like this.
Mm-hmm. So we hope that you enjoyed this part of the Honda SI story. We're going to be back with the Type R, which, as you can tell, Scott and I are a little bit. I'm irritated by it. It's up, you know.
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I understand what's going on, and
I think we've
been shut out from this game for a long, long time now, the Type R thing.
This isn't our first rodeo.
There's a glimmer of hope for this one.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, I'm going to be kicking rocks until I hear some glimmers of hope turn into some definite possibilities. But we'd like to hear from you, so write to us. Write to us on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us. Tweet at us. Like us. We're CarStuff HSW. We have stories there that never make it to air for one reason or another, usually an interesting one. And you can find every podcast we've ever done, including the Honda story we mentioned earlier, at our website, CarStuffShow.com. And if you want to take a page from Tim and write to us with a suggestion or some feedback or why you think that the SI is great or overrated, we'd love to hear from you. Our address is
CarStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.